Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use in working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in Virginia. In today's episode, Christy and I explore play therapy, what brought us to it, our earliest experiences in session, and our most meaningful. We're excited to share with you.
Going into Intro to Play, I think it really just spoke to my beliefs about kids, about just the wisdom that they hold inside and the opportunity to trust and give them space and be supportive in very developmentally responsive language at their pacing. Because my environment was all adult pacing. It was all set by other people. So to be able to offer something really different just to me felt more congruent with who I am. There were places I needed to grow and learn and rethink experiences, even after taking Intro to Play. So it was really, I think that's what spoke to me. Yeah. And there were some funny things in Intro to Play that I can share that I remember, just because I was really indoctrinated into the world of medicine. And so, you know, the cleaning of the playroom and just control and pacifiers and bottles and just thinking, no, a kid can't suck on that and another kid can suck on that. Like, no, right? Because my mind was safety, safety, safety for children. The population I worked with had really poor immune systems. So safety, safety, safety for these sweet peanuts that I was working with, because I didn't want to be what caused harm. It really did speak to my heart, the idea of it being child-led, about the faith that we have in children, the belief about children, children's inner wisdom, and them needing space to be able to communicate with us for us to really match their developmental level instead of constantly requesting them to match our developmental level, I think was an aha, a solidifying moment for me.
Right.
What about for you?
You know, it kind of turned the whole way I understand relationships around. I didn't know how to create boundaries for myself in ways that felt okay. And then how often I didn't allow children to create their own boundaries. I realized like how often I was making them do things that they didn't want to do because I wanted them to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I was getting frustrated at them for not doing the things I wanted them to do because they didn't want to do it. And so this whole idea that, wait a second, I can honor them and take a breath and be like, how much of this is about me? How much of this is about them? And be able to take a step back and then allow them to communicate and then truly listen. I think that was the aha moment for me, is allowing myself to truly listen and getting the goosebumps in sessions of, oh, this child's letting me know who they are.
Yeah.
And that, it's like a, I don't know how to describe it other than if your hearts are meeting each other in the middle, like some spiritual element to it. It's just hard to describe when you just see a child in a space where they know that they're safe and they can show you who they are and that you're going to listen.
Yeah. I remember my our Intro to Play class, we had to do micro practicums with children. And my kiddo wanted to create a skating rink in the playroom. And I am pretty permissive. Like I've worked with kids my whole life. So messiness is not a problem. I kind of embrace that that's part of children because they, you know, they're expansive, they're big, and they want to trial and error. They're very creative. And so you have to give them space to do that. Preschooler decided that he was going to put some glue on the floor and then take the sand from the sandbox and put it on the linoleum floor. And as he did it, he kept questioning that I was so permissive, right? Because the answer was, should have been no. Because that's not safe, right? Because our playroom actually became an ice skating ring where you couldn't stop yourself. You couldn't do a whole bunch of other stuff, right? And here I am really trying to hold this stance of total permissiveness. And he's like, you think this is safe? Like, he just kept questioning it, right? And not trusting. And I was a brand new play. I mean, you know, this was my first time trying play therapy skills. And so I'm not beating myself up, but it was just so, like, as I reflect back, just thinking this kid knew better than I did. Yeah. And that idea of like, where did we come to that as adults, we are the most wise in the room?
We're supposed to be in charge. And yet I make mistakes all the time. And so that little kid's like, I mean, I'm going to keep doing this, but like, I'm pretty positive you shouldn't let me.
This seems like a bad idea. and I'm like, it's fine.
You do you, man. Like, we can clean it up. Yeah. Well, and I think that's what was so great, because really nothing was off limits. Because it was all wipeable.
So that's like, we can mop this up in a heartbeat. There's like 12 of us that are going to come clean this playroom. This is not a big deal.
That's funny.
And I remember Dr. Landreth being like, what the heck? I mean, that's his language, but that's basically, he was like, that was not a good or safe decision. And I was like, he kept saying that. And rightfully so, right? Because, right. But that's the cool thing about play therapy too, right?
Like, right.
He repaired in the next session. So when he went to go do that, and, you know, I put a limit on it. He was like, yeah, I didn't think that was a good idea. I was like, I trust you. And he like just calls it up like an adult says they should trust me. I mean, that's the privilege we get to have in the room with the children we get to work with, right?
Yeah.
All relational.
It is really relational. And the kid that I was working with, all of a sudden started burying a lot of animals and people in the sand.
Wow.
And it got really intense. And I remember, like, wow, like there's something happening here. And then I looked up at the clock and I was like, we're supposed to end 5 minutes ago. Like, what do I do? And that kind of panicky moment that happens, there's something significant happening for this child in this moment. And there's a time limit, and like trying to figure out how to navigate those two things, which kind of seems similar to your experience, just in a different way, where you're, I need to honor this child, but how do I do it within the parameters of what we've been given? I went back out to supervision, and I didn't take, you know, like keep them much longer. And I gave, you know, the time limit, and like, we have like 3 more minutes or whatever. And I remember being like, oh God, I'm going to get in trouble. And then it was like the very relational, like it seemed like they had something they needed to work on. How can you keep track of time?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, even the way the people around us engaged with us felt mm-hmm. accepting. It wasn't really shut down. It was like, hey, what do you think was going on in that moment? What was happening for you? As opposed to like, you did it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think relationships were mimicked as they hoped we would have relationships with children. Philosophy, because it's, Maggie and I both practice from a child-centered philosophy. The healing factor of that is the relationship. And so being able to experience it so we could give it was really an important quality and component.
Well, I think it's what makes it so great too, is it doesn't matter when we went to school or what, like if we knew each other, there's this kind of collective of people that engage within the same sort of environment that I want to go and be with them, even if I didn't know them in school.
No, I agree. And I think, in a very different scenario than you were when we were taking Intro to Play, because I was a working professional during my master's degree. And so it, you know, it took me almost the whole time frame that the universities allot you to have, because I was taking one or two classes a semester, and I didn't take any classes over the summer. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the cohort model that my and so really the connecting point was play therapy for me in my master's degree. And then I would say the same thing in my PhD program. And even today, play therapy is my biggest part of my identity, more than like the other parts of, I probably identify strongest as a play therapist.
What do you think is like about that identity for you, like that resonates so much?
First and foremost, I think it is, children aren't very honored in our society. And I'm not saying that to demean anyone. I watch children not being trusted. I watch children hurried and moved along and disbelieved and some other things, when they have very valid perspectives and insight that I think if we sit and listen. And so being around people who find and experience childhood similarly, right, and value children's voices and value their experience, I think that's really important to me, because children turn into adults. So when do they learn to trust themselves? When do they learn to listen? Is it about, I never got power, and so as an adult now I want to have power over everything or control that, you know, like I just wonder how many things, and because I see people across the lifespan, I'm not restricted to just kids and in my practice, and most of it's rooted in childhood stuff. And so I just sit there and I'm like, when are we going to really pay attention to childhood? And being around people who pay attention to childhood is important to me. And so I think that's what resonates. I also particularly resonate with other child-centered or person-centered counselors, but not like exclusively, but I do, maybe because it's for similar reasons, right? But that's what resonates for me. They're also really kind people and they're fun to be around. They're playful and they have this, like, I don't want to call them childlike, but do you know what I mean? Like they haven't lost the joys of childhood. And so they're fun to be around.
It was funny because, yeah, I felt very different than I think you and I are very different. I always feel very like spazzy and you're very controlled. And I was, oh, if I'm going to be child-centered, I need to be controlled and calm. And then you meet some of your other, yes, there are people who are like that, right? Like they're amazing play therapists that are like super calm. But then I also have the ones that are like, spazzy too. And no one was ugly about it. It was just, oh, that's Maggie. And so that I think honestly, as I went through the program and as I learned more about play therapy and engage with those around me. And UNT was a very child-centered focused program where the faculty that were play therapy were child-centered. And it felt like I was being accepted by them. And somehow that gave me permission to then accept myself. Mm-hmm. And when you experience that type of transformation through relationship, it then speaks to then the work that we do. And then I was like, okay, if I've experienced it, what are the kids that we're working with? How are they experiencing it and how freeing? And
no, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of my relationships at North Texas were really healing for me. And I also want to say, I know people have this misconception that everyone that leaves North Texas is person-centered and child-centered. That's not true. It is part of the majority. I'm not going to try to hide that. But, you know, you're really encouraged to follow your own approach to play therapy. I think foundationally, they teach you child-centered.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, you're permitted, I'm putting parentheses around that for those that are just listening. Yeah, to follow your heart and follow, you know, like the authenticity important to the faculty and the supervisors that I worked with.
Yeah.
Be to you.
I was not person-centered when I was there.
I was going to ask if there was a play experience that solidified for you that you were in the right.
That's a really good, I think, yeah, I had a couple. I think for me, the biggest was like after I graduated and I moved. It was really interesting for me because we were in a bubble where everybody thought play therapy was great. Mm-hmm. And I have since gone to bubbles where they don't think play therapy is very cool at all. And so I was at a space where I had to create my own playroom and I was using refrigerator boxes to make kitchens and really working hard to set up a playroom. And there was a client that had some pretty severe trauma and I saw the light come back mm-hmm. in her eyes. And it's like, I still get really emotional and I like think about this person a lot and seeing someone who's been so hurt and watching them learn to love themselves was like one of the most profound experiences I've had. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know that I have an answer. I was like, what would my answer be? I think it is probably one of, I don't know if that was like my solidifying moment. Maybe it was like where I could count myself as a play therapist. I had a really challenging child that I worked with who did not want to be in relationship. Relationships had been really harmful to her and very hurtful. And so she did everything she could to make me not want to be in relationship with her. You know, she'd call me bad names. She would ignore me. She would critique the way I breathed, the way I, you know, like what I wore, like whatever she could. And the interesting thing is she never changed in our relationship. Like I was the person that she could felt safe enough to take a lot of things out on. And I remember getting a lot of supervision because I was just, what am I, is this even helpful?
Right.
Because sometimes we forget our relationship with kids are their relationships outside of there in the sense of, you know, they're going to bring their most authentic selves into us. And so it was just a really confusing relationship for me. And I wanted to quit a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think she was just really indicating to me how she experienced life and how dangerous relationships were. And so she was changing everywhere. So mm-hmm. I heard from her teacher that, you know, she volunteered to help, which she had never done before, to help her teacher do something during the day. This is a kiddo who had not been ever invited to a birthday party or very few birthday parties in her life. And she got invited to a birthday party, which she was so excited to go because she was at that age where peer relationships were starting to really become important. They could make it in the car without her initiating a fight. Like all these little things were coming up. She helped someone on the playground when they were really upset. And these were all new behaviors that, you know, the people in her life had not seen her do before. So like evolution was happening in other relationships and not in our relationships. And then we had a break because of a natural kind of reason. And then she did great with her next therapist. And so it was just really interesting. And, you know, I've thought a lot about how she's doing. And even though our relationships in the playroom are not all easy and we see these beautiful moments like yours, Maggie, like there's still things are happening that sometimes we have to remind ourselves we could be the first to see change or we could be the last to see change. We're somewhere in between. And so that's one that stands out.
I think it's so powerful about play therapy is, and maybe this isn't for everyone and this is just me, but I think you described it too, but it's like, we want people to like us, right? And so it's like, but I'm being so nice and I'm doing all this stuff. Like, why don't they like me? And I think, and I tell parents this a lot, I think it's true for teachers. I think it's true for us, is that when kids are having a hard time and they actually have a true relationship with someone and they feel seen and heard, they can give some of those pieces that are the scariest, that are the hardest. And then for kids who have experienced such difficult attachments or traumas or difficulties, like it doesn't always have to be about trauma. You and I both are trauma people, but you know, that they want to know if someone's going to accept them. And so often when they poke, 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 everyone leaves, but you didn't. Mm-mm. And it didn't change your perception of them. It didn't. And I think that's something.
Interesting things I think happened in our relationship, you know, because there were a few times we try not to be triggered in session. And, you know, I'm not a perfect therapist by any means, but I had to make repair. Mm-hmm. Right, which I think may be a new experience for this kiddo. I don't know how many people had repaired with her in the past because she poked so much. Mm-hmm. She was more like a porcupine than a teddy bear. And so, or that's how people described her to me, as more porcupine than teddy bear. And to experience repair from someone, right? And not just once, but several times, and to kind of learn limits of, you know, how hard do I push? How hard do I not push? What does that feel like? How do people experience that? All happened in our relationship. But I'll be honest, it didn't feel smooth sailing to me. You know, right. Like I had to prep myself to be in relationship with someone who was hurting so much. Mm-hmm. And who felt like people couldn't like them for them.
Right. And I think what's important too for people to remember is, okay, so here we have our doctorates. We've done a lot of therapy. We teach people how to do play therapy. And we question ourselves
all the time.
All of the time. I wish you, if anybody ever listens to this, like Christy and I call each other quite often to, hey, this is what's happening in the relationship. Am I doing this right? What am I not seeing? How am I tunnel vision? And I think that's so important to know that being in relationship is hard and trying to be in relationship, you know, it's a lot. And we have them for 45 minutes a week. We don't see all the other pieces. And because of that, we're a different type of relationship. And in school, they would always tell us to trust the process. And we tell our students to trust the process. And what I've learned is that if you can hold on to yourself in those moments of self-doubt, in those moments of, I'm not good enough, I need to change in order to help someone else change or grow. If you do that, it does hinder the process versus if you just sit with it and you trust yourself. And you trust your training and you trust those that you let in and ask for assistance with, then the child also begins to trust themselves. And it's in those moments that like, it's almost like you hit this wall. And it's if you just like hold on a second, it stops being a wall. And that's when the big change is, but it starts with Right. And it's like, it starts with you accepting it yourself. And I think that's where like the work comes from too, of like the play therapist, is that we have to learn to trust ourselves.
Yeah. And I think self-doubt is natural. I don't think that's an abnormal experience. It's when we're shaping ourselves around self-doubt that it becomes problematic, right? Where our people pleasing or our whatever.
Inadequate like feelings.
Whatever it is.
That was the most impactful moment for me, I think, in supervision as a play therapist. It was my second year, so I had taken the play therapy class, and I think I was in group play. And someone we were watching a video of me, and I set a limit. And I guess, like, in the video, you can tell that I'm not really behind the limit. And the faculty looked at me and was, "What's going on there? You didn't see what's going on." Like, something felt shifted. And I was like, "Oh, well, blank professor said I needed to do this." And they looked at me and they said, "I didn't know your name was blank." And I started bawling, because what they were doing was giving me permission to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my gosh, like I have been trying to contort into this idea of what I thought I needed to be. And in that moment, it was such a important moment, I think, for me as a person and me as a play therapist, that I am okay.
Yeah.
And if I authentically show up in relationship, it will be okay.
Yeah, I think my experience with many beginning play therapists, they feel like they have to contort to be these video people that we see play therapy sessions on, or, you know, that we can't alter, or the book says this. I mean, the book is a guideline. The book is not like set in stone. And I think if you talk to the authors of the book, they would be like, "No, it's not always this, or you have to do it." Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, it's so interesting. And yes, I think a lot of us have those experiences of like figuring out who is Maggie as a play therapist, mm-hmm. right? And what are your beliefs in relationship with others, and what's important about your beliefs and how they show up over what someone else tells you. Now, I will say, I'm saying this, but as a very early play therapist, I think as a beginning play therapist, it is important to try to follow the guidelines.
Yes.
Because if you never give it a shot, then it's hard to incorporate. It's once you're kind of rooted in those skills that it can be really helpful.
Well, I think it's like when you go into counseling, it's a whole new language, right? You know, it's like we're having you speak differently to other people. It's a different type of relationship, right? So it's like I can talk to anybody on the street, but the way I am in session is very different. And so then play therapy is like this whole other language, and it's shifting. Like, and I think that's what's so cool about it. And I think we both felt it in that class, is like it's a shifting of understanding. How am I showing up in this space? And what am I telling to a child through the way in which I'm showing up? And so a lot of times it is helpful to just use that language, because you're learning it, right? Like, you don't learn Spanish in school and then go fluently speak, right? We don't learn necessarily the natural way of speaking, but that comes with it as you engage and you grow and you learn, so that it doesn't have to all be like, "You're really sad right now." You're really, which is what I had originally seen, which is why I want to be really kind to that person, because they were just learning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it doesn't feel as dynamic in the beginning because you're learning the language. It is a different language.
It is a different language. And it's interesting. Yeah, that could be a whole show in itself. Dr. Landreth has said this before. It's not an action we do. It's a way we are. And I really think that is pretty accurate when you're talking about child-centered, is that it is a way of being more than it is like, "I have to put this hat on right now."
Right.
And I think where that gets challenging is positions like school counselors who do play therapy, because they do have to shift hats. And it is really hard to shift out of a way of being, right? That is going to naturally infuse in lots of parts of your life. You were talking about in relationship with your partner, right? That it infuses there. It infuses with your kids. It infuses in, you know, like it's the way I respond in all relationships, and I'm not cognizant of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
My supervisees or my students will start laughing because they'll be like, "Oh, we know, we get to decide." I don't even know I've said it.
Right.
Because I really believe I don't have to control all aspects. Do you know what I mean? Like, your inner wisdom, your sense of creativity should be given space to flourish in setting as well. And so, I don't know, it's just funny how it really does become
a part of who you are.
How you interact with the world and how you interact with other people and how I interact with my dog. I mean, my dog has been play therapized.
Yeah.
You know, she makes choices. It's hysterical. And people,
oh, yeah.
But it really, that's the way we communicate together all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My kids are like, I'm so, stop being a play therapist. Like, I don't know how. I know, this is just how I am. Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So if we were to give one piece of advice or insight to someone who's thinking about play therapy and is like, listen to this.
I think give it a try. Don't make a decision until you try it and find someone who can support you on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be my one advice. Just try it. Speak to your heart or it won't. Okay. If play therapy doesn't speak to you,
mm-hmm.
give it a shot. See. I also think play therapy helps sharpen all of your skills. And so on that vein, right? Like if it's going to help with your overall counseling skills or mental health skills, why wouldn't you take a class in it? But that's,
yeah,
you know, my own bias there. There yeah. are great therapists who have never taken play therapy.
I think it would probably be similar to that, whatever the preconceived notions or if you just are kind of interested in like working with kids, I would say reach out to someone, reach out to a play therapist or a professor of play therapy, like just Google play therapy professors, right? And names are going to come up and reach out to them. I don't think I would have any problem if someone was like, hi, I'm curious about what this is. I would probably have like an hour long conversation with you. And I think that's kind of similar for others. Oh. And so like reach out and just see, and then the network is pretty small. And so we can probably connect you with someone that introduced you to a workshop or a course or, you know, a book or information. I think that could be really helpful.
I think the other thing to know, there are lots of opportunities to get exposed to play therapy. So,
well, this was really fun.
We wish you a playful journey as you're hopefully listening to this podcast.
Can help.